Okay. Very big kitzur on the parsha, very quickly. There's a famous vart that I like to say over from the Tolm the Rebbe on this week's parsha. We have in this week's parsha, in last week's parsha, the Rashi quotes a famous medrash. The medrash tells us that it says in the Chumash, Lakelev kol basar treifa, Lakelev tashlichu nosai, all the meat that becomes treif, that's unacceptable for consumption, you throw it to the dogs. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. The Medrash says, why do you throw it to the dogs? Because the dogs didn't bark during Makas B'chayris, and therefore we reward them by giving them all the treifa meat for thousands of years. So the kasha that many people ask is that, let me just mute everyone, give me 1 second. The kasha that the Velt asks is that the klavim, the dogs, were not the only animals that expressed Mesiras Nefesh. We know that Tzvardea, the frogs, they jumped into the ovens. They got burnt up. They lost their life also to do Hashem's will. So why don't we find that the Tzvardeya get any credit for like the Klavim do? And the Tolm the Rebbe answered, because it's a lot easier to jump into fire than it is to keep your mouth closed. The dogs had to go against their nature. The nature is to bark, to talk. So the dogs had to go against their nature. When a person has to go against their nature, it's very, very difficult. And therefore, when a person holds back and doesn't say something hurtful, doesn't say something hurtful or insensitive, that's a much bigger deal than going into a burning fire. As human beings, our natural tendency is to talk. We run our tongue, we run our mouth. Oh, I have a Talmud of mine who sends me every week like a zug on the parsha. So last week he sent me that the tongue is not very heavy, but it's very hard to hold it. And it's very hard for us to hold our tongue. We talk. We always shoot the breeze. We shoot our mouth as quickly as we do. And therefore, when a person is miskaber and he doesn't speak and he holds back his tendency, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him unbelievable rewards. That's an important lesson from last week's parsha. Okay, everybody. So I just want to wish Mazel Tov to David Portell on the birth of a grandson last week. David, Mazel Tov. Hope the Shalom Zachem went well despite the snow. And Amir Tashem, the bris is when?
Thank you, Rabbi. And the bris is Amir Tashem Tuesday morning at the Beth Shalom, 7:30 davening.
Fantastic.
Because it is the first day of Rosh Chodesh.
That's right. And if Chaim's late to yeshiva, I'll know why.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Fantastic. Mazel Tov Simchas. Okay. I can no longer attribute all the bris into Rabbi Loz Demila. I think we're too many shurim out already from Rabbi Loz Demila. But Baruch Hashem, we should only continue to get together for, enjoy many simchas together in person and in good health together, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, everybody, so let's get back to where we left off last week. So if you remember last week, we got ourselves involved in a very interesting machoikish reshayin between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi was of the opinion that if you want to steal something, you only are koinet if you lift the 3 tefachim off the ground. Rashi says that if you want to be goinev of something, the way it works is if you're magbi at gimel tefachim, then you're koinet. And therefore Rashi said in our Gemara, since it's very possible for me to steal the chalev without lifting at gimel tefachim, so therefore we don't look at it as the lifting is connected to the eating. So Tosfos jumped on Rashi right away, and Tosfos said, what are you talking about? You have to lift at gimel tefachim. The thing is in your hand. The stolen object is in your hand. So if the stolen object is in your hand, that makes you a ganev on its own. And Tosfos also had another kash. If you remember, Tosfos also pointed out that forget the fact that it's in your hand, but we also know there's such a thing called being in your mouth. Kinyan peh. And Tosfos therefore disagreed with Rashi, and he said, there's no such thing that you have to lift up the gimel tefachim in order to be kind of the gneva. If gneva is in your hand, you're kind of the gneva. If gneva is in your mouth, you're kind of the gneva. If gneva is on your body, you're kind of the gneva. Tosfos brought an interesting raya, if you remember. Tosfos brought a raya from the Gemara in Gittin. We learned in Gittin that if you throw the get to the Isha, so it says you throw the get into her basket, so she's kind of. So Tosfos says, it doesn't say anything that her basket's lifted off the ground. So what do you see? You see that when it comes to get, you don't need to make any ma'aseh kinyanim, just putting it into my rishus. And therefore says Tosfos, so there's no such thing that you need hagbah gimel tefach. That was Tosfos' kasha and Rashi. So Tosfos has a whole different shot in the Gemara. So we mentioned the ktsois. The ktsois pointed out that it should come out to be a very important nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos. What's the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos? Says the ktsois, let's say there's a case in the Gemara called oida benichse ager. Let's say a guy is walking around the field, and he has no idea that this field is hefker. It belongs to a ger that dies, and he has no yarshim, so it's a free-for-all. The guy has no idea. He has no idea that this is a hefker territory. And he's working, and he's doing, and he thinks it's someone else's, so he never had das to be koine. So what happens, says the tzoyis, if let's say a person has a chotzer, and he's not, and something goes into the chotzer, shalemi daite, he doesn't know about it. So the chotzer is koine shalemi das. The chotzer can be koine even without his knowledge. Says the tzoyis, what happens if something falls into your hand, shalemi daite? Would you be able to be koine? So the Ktzais thinks it's telling this machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, Yad is only kind when you lift the three tefachim. So if I have no idea, a guy sitting on a lawn chair, he's enjoying, all of a sudden an object flies into his hand. He's not makbiyad gimel tefachim. Says the Ktzais, according to Rashi, in that case, you would not have kinyan yad. But according to Tosfos, the way kinyan yad works, it works the same way as a chatzar. And therefore, says the Ktzais, the same way a chatzar works, shlemi daitoi, so kinyan yad should work shlemi daitoi also. So the point of the Ktzais was, the Ktzais wanted to say that the machloik is Rashi and Tosfos of Eos and Ksubis should be totally in a different shayla. It should be totally in how does yad work. Now the Ktzais brings out a very important nekuda. The Ktzais says that according to Rashi, there is no such thing called kinyan yad. We have this idea, right? What's it called? Possession is 9/10 of the law, right? If I'm holding on to something, that means it's mine. Says the Ktzais, according to Rashi, holding something in your hand is meaningless. If I put something into your hand and you're holding it, that does not make you the Bailam on it. The only way you'll become the Bailam on it is if you lift it, you move it, you schlep it, you do something to it. But just being in your yad is not kaina, which is very strange according to Rashi. Why? Because we know that such a thing called a chatzar, right? If I have something in my backyard, it's kaina. I don't have to do anything. It's just being in my possession. Rashi, according to the Ktzais, is understanding that yad is not working like a chatzar. Yad is a different type of kinyan. And therefore, says the Ktzais, according to Rashi, it should come out that if someone throws something into your hand and you're not aware of it to lift the gimel tvachim, you're not going to be kain. And the kasha that we left off with last week, which is still a very stark kasha, I'm not really attempting to be masber today so well, is that how does Rashi learn the Gemara about Metziah? According to Rashi, it comes out that kinyan yad is not really kinyan yad. Kinyan yad is really a fancy version of hagbah. Every single time something's in my yad and I lift the gimel tvachim, then I have kinyan yad. But it comes out that according to Rashi, there's no such thing called independent kinyan yad. What's the problem? So we saw the kasha from the Devar of Rome and many other Achrayim have the kasha. Is there a Gemara Mefurish against it? The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, the Gemara has a Shal Daf Yudam Beis, how does a chatzah work? Right, we know, we learned Gittin together, so we know there's such a thing called chatzah. How does chatzah work? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Either chatzah mitam yad or chatzah mitam shlichus. Now what does it mean chatzah mitam shlichus? Chatzah mitam shlichus means that my backyard is like my agent. Just like I can appoint an agent and tell someone, go pick it up for me. So to my backyard is functioning as my agent. That's one side of the Gemara. But the Gemara has another side, chatz mitam yad. What does it mean chatz mitam yad? So the simple understanding is that just like my hand is my possession, it's an extension of me. So to my backyard is an extension of me. Not that my backyard is a messenger of me. My hand is not a messenger of me. My hand is me. Yeah, we'll try to break this down a little bit more in a few minutes. But therefore, the side of the Gemara, the chatz mitam yad, l'chayra, it means that the way a chatzar functions is because it's an extension of my body. My body is kaina. My hand is kaina. My back is kaina. Let's say you throw the get onto the guy, onto the Isha's head. So that's also kaina. You put it on me. Let's say you smuggled the drugs in your ears. So you'd be kaina with that, perhaps. We spoke a little bit about it. We'll talk more about it today. Whether or not body cavities are kaina, because they're an extension of me. So the kasha that the Achrayim have is, according to Rashi, chatzar is not mitam yad. Why? Chatzar works just by being in the chatzar. Yad, according to Rashi, you have to lift it up gimel tefachim. So how does Rashi learn the Gemara? And the Gemara says chatzar mitam yad. What do you mean chatzar mitam yad? Chatzar and yad are so opposite. Because according to Rashi, yad only works if you lift the gimel tefachim. Chatzar, you don't need to lift the object gimel tefachim. So that was the kasha we left off with last week. Now, let's start.
But a yad is kind of, normally yad is kind of, according to Rashi, with hagbah.
Right.
Same thing by a chatzar. Normally a chatzar is kind of how? By sitting in a chatzar. Doesn't have to do hagbah.
Right, but the problem is according to Rashi, so what does it mean chatzar is mitam yad? How they work in the same
way? That just like yad, the normal way of kinyan is that he has to do hagbah with it.
Right.
So too, but chatzar, the normal way of kinyan is that it's sitting in your chatzar.
So they're not working the same way. They're not working with the same lumdus. Right, the one's working with the lumnus of kinyan hagbah, and one's working with a passive dropping into the chatzar.
No, but Rashi's chiddush, the whole Rashi's chiddush is saying that the hagbah of yad is because that's yad. That a normal way yad is kind of something that it's magbi or something.
Uh-huh. So you want to learn the Gemara that chatzar mitam yad doesn't mean it's working. Meaning chatzar mitam yad is the pshat that the same way that yad works in its normal way, the hainu lifting things up. So to a chatzar works in its normal way, which means it just accepts things.
Yeah, Correct.
Which means Lefiza, we're not giving a lumdis. I mean, when we say chas b'tamiyat, it's not really a lumdis. It's just a categorization, I guess. I hear, maybe.
Right.
We might have to say something like that for Rashi. That chas b'tamiyat doesn't mean it's working. Again, it might not work so nicely if you take a look in Rashi and Bamitzi Yudam Abeis. I didn't put the Rashi down in the Marma Kermis, but it doesn't sound like that from Rashi. But you might have to kvetch. You might have to mucho a little bit to be miyashiv like that because it's very shver. How else Rashi is going to learn the Gemara? So we'll neither today. We'll see maybe a similar mahalach in how to learn that Gemara. Again, I apologize. I don't have a share screen. My tech is sleeping. But I'm hoping Michael sent out the Mar Mikremis and everyone has that in front of them. Thank you again for Michael for making this all possible at last minute last night. I appreciate it. And hopefully everyone has the Mar Mikremis in front of them. So if you look over here, number one, Reb Dovid Pivarsky, he stamazeh has a kash on this whole ktsais. He doesn't understand the whole ktsais. And what do the ktsais do? The Ktzai said that the Machloik is Rashi and Taisus and Ksubis about how Yad works is totally in if you could be kind of Yad, Shalom Yidaita. Says Reb Dovid Pivarsky, Achin Tzarechin. I don't understand. Ma Raya Klal. B'chlal, what's the comparison? The Kemoy de Chotze Kainu Shalom Yidaita Huid and Yadin Ami Kainu Shalom Yidaita. What was the assumption of the Ktzai? The assumption of the Ktzai is if my Chotze could be kind without my knowledge, I'm on vacation and an object falls into my Chotze, I'm kind without knowing about it. So too, Sainik should work with Yad. Says Reb Dovid Pivarsky, not so fast. Why? The bishlam b'chatzer, the etzema the munach b'chatzere harehu munach b'rishusai. Says Reb Dovid, how does chatzer work? Chatzer works because it's all about where the object is placed. The object is placed in a possession in an area that's called mine, and that's what makes it mine because the object is in a place that is mine, right? So therefore, shayach shab aloyma shekoyin lo shalom b'daitai. So therefore, it makes sense to say that you could be koyin shalom b'daitai. Even though you don't know about it, meaning says the Bavarsky, how does Kinyan Chatzah work? Kinyan Chatzah is not really so much about me, it's about the object. Where is the object resting? The object is resting in my backyard. My backyard is my rishos. My rishos is a reason for me to be kind of things. So therefore says the Bavarsky, Vadiya Chatzah could be kind of Shalom Yidaita. Why? Because the whole lumdus of Chatzah doesn't need your das. The whole lumdus of Chatzah is you not being involved. It's about where the object is resting. But he writes, "Ach kishem munach biyodoi." When you want to talk about using yad, harei mad choshev de munach brushusay havirak mishum dehu machzik achifetz. Says Reb Dovid Pivarsky, very big chiddush. What's pshat in yad? So most of us think that yad is my rishus. Says Reb Dovid, not so fast. Who said your yad is working because it's your rishus? The way yad works is because you're holding on to it. Rak sheini yodei klash munach v'olay mikri klash shemachzik achifetz. Says Reb Dovid Pivarsky, very interesting svara. Kinyan Yad is a pshat, not that it's in my possession, but I'm holding it. It's in my grasp. I'm holding it. Holding it is not the pshat. Again, if I asked you why you're carrying something in your hand, so Pasha pshat is because it's in my hand and my hand is me. He says, no. It's not the pshat that your hand is you. The pshat is that holding on to something is a certain level of bialis. And that makes a lot of sense. Holding things is a way of showing ownership. So therefore argues the Dov Pivarsky, if that's the way Yad works. So he says, well, if you're holding on to it in a way that you don't know about it, so what's your holding worth? Holding is worth something when you're holding it in expression of an owner. But if you have no idea you're holding it, so then what type of kinyan is there? Now, we would have argued on this whole premise and said that's not the way Yad works. We would have assumed Yad works with the lumdus that it's an extension of me. It's my rishus. Just like chutz is my rishus and Yad is my rishus. My body is my rishus. So if you throw something onto my body, that's why I'm kinyan. Says the Dov Pivarsky, maybe not. Maybe Kinyan Yad works. And then, Lefize, you're going to have to kvetch the Gemara. Because then they're not working the same way, right? According to this Chiluk for Reb Dovid Pivarsky, the Kinyan Yad is the pshat that I'm holding it. It's toifes. It's under my control. So that's not the way Chatz is working. But okay, put that aside. So says Reb Dovid Pivarsky, then he thinks the comparison is not so. Meaning, there's no way that Kinyan Yad can work with Shalom Yidaita. Because again, Kinyan Yad is the pshat that I'm holding on to something. You can't be holding on to something consciously unless you know you're holding on to it. Now he brings a raya to this. What's his raya? He brings a raya from Gemara Baba Kama. What's the Gemara Baba Kama? A guy is sitting down and he has a big rock on his lap. He has no idea that there's a rock on his lap. He doesn't recognize. He gets up and boom, the rock falls down. So says Reb Dovid, so let's clarify shayla. How do you look at this rock? Do you say that this rock is in his possession? It's on his body. So just like if the rock would be in his hand, the rock is on his lap. So his lap is his possession. Kibun de niyadeim is a klal. The Gemara says over there that we don't consider it like that. Why? Because he didn't know about it. I frektib David Bavarsky, who cares? It's in his possession. The answer is because being in your possession, being on your body, only works if you know about it. If something is on your body without you knowing about it, without you consciously being aware of it, that's not considered being in control. I guess the way you have to word it is things that are on your on your body are you're in control of. You're only in control if you know about it. And therefore, says the David Bavarsky, by kinyan yad, you can't have kinyan yad if you don't know about it. So this is a whole new lumdus. This is a very big lumdus. This is the lumdus that kinyan yad is not the pshat, that it's an extension of me, and it's my rishus, and it's my control. No. Pshat is kinyan yad is tisa. When you're holding on to something, that gives you a bailus on the object. Okay. Now, there's a gewaldige shtickle here that we're going to see today. Two shticklech from Ibn Naftali Trupp. The famed Reb Naftali Trupp. Not so many people know a lot about Reb Naftali Trupp. He never died relatively young. Reb Naftali Trupp was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Radin Yeshiva by the Chafetz Chaim. Now, it was very controversial when the Chafetz Chaim took him, because at that time they had already had a Rosh Yeshiva. They had a problem that many yeshivas have today, where they have older Rabbeim, and the kids want more younger and fresh Rabbeim. But you can't just kick the old ones out and let the, you know, lead them to pasture. So what the Chafetz Chaim did was he brought in a very young Gishmaka Rebbe, and that was Naftali Trupp. He hired him when he was in his early 30s. And Naftali Trupp, even though he didn't learn by Reb Chaim, but he had that Reb Chaim style of learning, which was very attractive in those years. And he became the main Rosh Yeshiva in Radin until his passing in the late 20s. He didn't live very long. I believe he died in his late 50s. He didn't have a very long life. There's two versions of the story. One version was he actually married the daughter of the Altar of Slobodka, and she died shortly after the marriage. And the other version is he was engaged to the daughter of the Altar of Slobodka, and she died. So I'm not sure which version is more correct. Historians want to argue that it probably was never a wedding, because if there would have been a wedding, there would have been more literature. There would be an invitation. There'd be more people that were at the chasana. But I saw a different report to whether or not Reb Naftali actually married the altar from Slobodka's daughter, or he was only engaged to her. But either way, she died, and he had to get remarried. And Reb Naftali Trupp, for those of you that are familiar with Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, Reb Naftali Trupp was the Rosh Yeshiva in Chafetz Chaim. And then Reb Naftali Trupp had a son, Avram Trupp. And he had a granddaughter. He had two granddaughters. Avram Trupp had two daughters. One of Avram Trupp's daughters married Reb Henoch Leibowitz. Reb Henoch Leibowitz was Rosh Yeshiva from Chafetz Chaim, who was a great nephew from the Chafetz Chaim on his father's side, married Reb Naftali Trupp's granddaughter, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Chavetz Chaim's yeshiva in Radin. So, and the other daughter that he had is also a famous Altamir, Rabbi Portnoy, the Portnoy family from Queens. If those of you know, Rabbi Portnoy was an Altamir. He used to daven together with us when I was a Bachur in Shaar Torah. He used to daven. So our Rebbe used to tell us, go watch it. Watch an Altamir just daven. So he was an Altamir. You know, he didn't have any position. He was just an Altamir. So his wife was Naftali Trupp's other granddaughter. Michael, if I'm not mistaken, there's a Trupp connection in Chicago also. There was a
Reb Naftali Trupp was in my seventh grade Rebbe in Erie Town.
He was a grandson.
That's right. Yeah, he was unfortunately he was nifter also. Yeah. But yes, he was my seventh grade Rebbe. His name was Reb Naftali.
He was named for his Zayda. He was named for his Zayda, the Granat. So the Granat is learned. The Granat is learned in all the yeshivas. It's a very geshmaka sefer. But it was they say a cute joke that when Naftali Trupp became Rosh Yeshiva, so someone had a shayla. One of the bachim asked him a shayla about how to light menorah in the dormitory, whatever the dormitory was like then. So Naftali Trupp said, "Why are you asking me? You got the Mishnah Berurah. The Chafetz Chaim was right here." So they ended up sitting down and going through the Mishnah Berurah together to make a psak. The Chafetz Chaim was much older than Naftali Trupp. He was very much machni himself to Naftali Trupp. Okay, so Naftali Trupp has a shtickle Torah like this.
Before you go ahead, one question.
David.
If you go to make a kinyan on an object that's in a box, and you pick up the box to make the kinyan, but in the box is something else that you didn't know about or intend to make a kinyan on, is there a kinyan?
So the problem with your case is there's some other factors to consider. You might have what's called kinyan agav. I get one agav the other. You might even have a type of a chutzer. If the box becomes mine, then all the things that are in the box becomes mine. You have to make it that you only want to be kind of the object and not the box. Because if I'm kind of the box, then I get the box and all its content based on chutzer.
Right.
But in Echanami, that would be a good example of a person who has no doubts to be kind of the second thing. That's a good example, David. So the granat, wants to tell it like this. So he says, so the Granat, yeah, he got his Lomdish Mahalach really from Rabbi Itzel Panovich. That's really where he learned his Mahalach from. He was in Kelm, he was in Slobodka, but he got his Lomdish Mahalach predominantly from Rabbi Itzel Panovich. So he says like this, number two, Dr. Granat. Says the Granat, says Maftali Trump, let's go back to the Gemara Bar Metzia. The Gemara Bar Metzia declares, Yeshai L'chos B'tam Yad, L'chos B'tam Shlichus. What does that mean? So he writes, Ine Yesh Lach Kor B'din Kinyan Yad. Says Reb Maftali Trump, let's try to break down Kinyan Yad. I have a mitam achnosis l'rishos. Is it working because your Yad is your possession? Oy mishum etzem maisa hakinyan. Now let's try to break this down. The first side of Naftali Trump is what we were saying the whole time. Your yad is your possession. Your yad is you. It's an extension of you. It's like your backyard. It's like your possession. The other side is no. That there's something about being in your yad. Your yad is a makom to make kinyanim. Now I'm not sure if he means the pshat like we saw from David Pavarsky, because holding something makes something yours, or just it's mistaver that your hand is a mechanism, is a way to make things yours. The fact that it goes into your hand is a reason that you should own it. Those are tzutzadim. Again, the first side is that yad is the pshat, that it's an extension of you. It's an extension of your possession. It's an extension of your control. It's your rishos. Or the pshat is, no, being in your hand is a reason that something should be yours. So says Reb Naftali, v'nira de b'hai pligi. Says Reb Naftali, Trump, he thinks this chakira is our machoikis Rashi and Taisvus and Ksupas. Why? When we talk about gerushin, Tosis brought a raya from get, but it comes to a get, you don't have to make a ma'aseh kinyan on a get. What do you need when it comes to a get? All you need to do is get it into your rishos. So Tosis brought us a raya that you don't need a bimagbiya gimel tvachim from get. The Pnei Yeshua asked on Tosis, "What are you talking about? Get is doesn't need a ma'aseh kinyan." So says Rav Tali, 100%. If Taisus is bringing a Rai from Get, Taisus is understanding that the way Get works by Yad is not the Pshat that your Yad is kind of the Get. The Pshat is your Yad is considered your Rishos. And when the Torah says, give it to her Rishos, you gave it to her Rishos. So Yad is not the Pshat that Yad's a Maisa Kinyan, says Reb Naftali. Yad is the Pshat that it's considered an extension of you. That's what Taisus held. And therefore Taisus thought that Gittin is a good fear Raya. Vim came Shapir Heavy Raya Meget, and therefore Taisus brought a Raya from Get. Ochein, Rashi va Ramban. So what Rashi? Savri no de bikinyonim ainze rakach nosel rishos. Eleke maise kinyon. Rashi held not like that. Rashi held that the way kinyon yad works is the pshat is you have to make a kinyon. You have to do something with your yad. And therefore, v'shaper dochi harai meget. And therefore, there's absolutely no rai. Rashi has no kasha from the Gemara about get. Because get, you don't have to make a kinyon on the get, like the Pnei Yeshua asks. Therefore, says Rav Naftali, de ain tzarech alach nosel rishos. That's Rashi's beautiful. Rashi holds the way Kinyan Yad works. It's not the pshat that it just being in my hand makes it mine. Yad is the pshat that you're holding it, you're lifting it, you're moving it, you got to do something with it. Therefore, says Reb Naftali, so Rashi understood that Kinyan Yad is working as a Maisa Kinyan. And therefore, don't ask me any kashas that Yad works by get. Get doesn't need Kinyanim. Taisvus asks Akash, I get. What are you talking about get? The Pnei Yeshua is Kasha. Get's not comparable. Therefore, says Reb Naftali, that's because Rashi and Taisvus were coming from different angles. Rashi was trying to understand that the way get, Rashi was understanding Kinyan Yad with the idea that the way a Yad works is that your Yad is a Maisa Kinyan. You have to do something to make it yours. You have to lift it, pull it, can't just put it into your hand. While Taisus understood, no, that the way Yad works is just being in your possession. If the object finds its way into your possession, that's an extension of you. And therefore Taisus says, so Gittin is the same thing. A get doesn't need a Maisa Kinyan. Maybe a get doesn't need a Maisa Kinyan. But a get still works the same way. Yeah, Jeff. I'll mute you. Jeff, you're unmuted. Wait, 1 second. 1 second, 1 second, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff.
Okay, I think I do. Can't we just say it's based on the item? If it's a get, it works one way. If it's something else, it works another. And you don't have to come onto the side of the yad. You come onto the side of the object.
The problem is, Tosfos asked from the case of get. Tosfos wanted... The truth is, the only place where we actually know about kinyan yad is from get. So get is really our springboard. On top of that, Tosfos asked from the case of get. So Taisus is assuming get and geneva are comparable. I mean, if everyone picked up in last week's parsha, we had the idea of geneva. It says imotzis imotzah biyadoi hageneva. So by geneva it says the word biyadoi. So we only know what the Torah tells us, and by get it says biyadoi. So we have to kind of work backwards with the information given to us. So that's what Naftali's mahalach. So Naftali wants to point out that this machloikis Rashi and Taisvis comes out to be maybe how you understand kinyanyat. If kinyanyat is the pshat that the actual object goes into your hand and being in your hand is like being in your rishos, or the way kinyanyat works is the pshat is that you have to make a ma'aseh kinyan on the object that's in your hand as well. We mentioned last week in number 3 Ashita Mukubetzes. The Ashita Mukubetzes.
So, according to Tosos, you could have a ma'aseh geneva without a kinyan.
Correct. That's what we spoke about the other week. That maybe Taisus holds that for Geneva maybe is also not really a Maisa Kinyan. Meaning you have to do some form of a Maisa Kinyan, but it's not the Pshat that makes it yours. It's like the Maisa Kinyan by Get type of Lamdas. And a Hanami. Comes out strange. Right?
Because otherwise all these questions about Kimli don't make any sense.
Correct. 100%. Right. Good point. So we mentioned last week the Shita Mukubetzes. The Shita Mukubetzes has a Shtikl Torah in Rashi. He writes like this. He says, "Veneer the sphere of the Rashi, the afal gav dilinyin get k'sivin nasim biyodoi." Even though Rashi, his 3 tfachim hakboda, seems to go against the chumash by get, shema haynu dafke k'she magbi yashloish tfachim in aritz. Maybe Anachanami says the Shita Mukubetzes is maybe by get. The only time the get works is when you magbi at gimel tfachim. Maybe in order for the get to be chal, you have to be magbi at gimel tfachim. I fact the Shita Mukubetzes says, what do you do with the second raya of Taisvis? Taisvis is raya about the case of the basket. Vahid de kolso, so why is the basket kaina if you never lifted the basket? Shani, it's different, mishum dahave hakli shalah. Because the basket belonged to the Isha. The kanye medin rishusoi. And she was kaina it as her possession. Avo kishiyodo, somoch loaret, but when your hand is next to the ground, hava amino kilovodomi, I would think that's like lovodu bottle agav aron, it's bottle to the ground. So the Shita Mukubetzes is throwing a lot of things over here. First of all, he told us that it's very possible that in order for an ish to become a regular get, she has to be magbi at gimel tvachim. I fact the Shita Mukubetzes says, what do you do with the case of the basket? So I said, nah, the basket's different. The basket doesn't need agbog gimel tvachim. Why doesn't the basket need Agbod Gimel Tvachim? Says the Shita Mukubetzes, because the basket is her rishos. But her hand, if you leave her hand less than Gimel Tvachim on the ground, says the Shita, that would be part of the ground. It wouldn't be considered as if it's in her hand. But her basket, that's okay. So explains the Shita Mukubetzes. So, David Pivarsky over here explains on the Shita, Gevaldik. He says like this, V'nira de be'emes enkavonis ha-Shita Mukubetzes de l'rashi kinyan havin b'teres kinyan Agbod. Says Reb David, you have to look at the Shita, very important. The Shita is not saying that Rashi holds that every kinyan yad works like Hagbah, like the Tzais learned. Devadai di yodah shal odam arehu atzmai. No, Rashi does not learn like the Tzais. Rashi learns that your yad is an independent sibas hakinyan. It's not the pshat that every yad has kinyan Hagbah. So what's the pshat? The rak de marbinon gaga chatzer vekafifa. The afrin shuze shal odam havinami kumay odam atzmai. Unbelievable. Says the David Pivarsky, your yad is not your possession. Your yad is you. Your possession is an extension of you. You is you. Meaning, there's a secondary level of extension of you. Your rishus, my backyard. But me is me. That's me. I'm the avia voice. It starts with me. My hand is not the pshat that it's an extension of me. My hand is me. Good. So that's how Rashi holds Yad works. So 1 second. If Rashi understood that Kinyan Yad is be'etzem you, not an extension of you, so why do you have to lift it off Gimel Tvachim? It's a technical problem. Rashi holds that if my hand would be within Gimel Tvachim of the ground, my hand is part of the ground. You didn't make an asina to me. You made an asina to the ground. So 1 second. What about the basket? V'zeu shekosav hashidim mukubetzes d'davka b'kalosoi davi medin rishos. Lekachilu ki havi l'malam gimoy oylamata. D'lo oylam choshev aged munach b'rishusai. Says Reb David Pavarsky, another big chiddush, which is really mefurish in the Shidim Kubetzis. When it comes to the basket, since the basket is my possession, the basket can function even if it's within Gimel Tvach. Because it's clearly defined as my possession. It's my possession in your house, so my possession is considered independently mine. But my hand is worse than a basket. My hand within three tefachim is bottled to the ground. My basket within three tefachim is still my basket. Therefore, says the Shita Mekubetz, everything is beautiful in Rashi. When you have a kalos, when you have a basket, so you don't need gimel tefachim for the basket. The basket is an independent rishus, stands on its own. But when my hand is within gimel tefachim of the ground, my hand doesn't blight, my hand's not considered. Again, if my hand would be an extension of me, it would be like my basket, so then Rashi doesn't make any sense. Says the Dovah Pavarsky, that's because Rashi doesn't hold that way. Rashi doesn't look at your hand and say, well, your hand is an extension of you, your hand is like your basket. Your hand is you. But me, in someone else's possession, is considered part of the ground. That's what we mentioned. Yeah.
So what if you're lying down on the floor?
Right. According to them, you'd have to lift it off the ground. Right, it wouldn't work.
According to the way David Pavarsky is explaining Rashi, what's the Havamin in the Gemara that Chatzah should ever work in Tam Yad? How can it work in Tam Yad? It's no Sheikhas to Yad.
No, right. You can have the same kasha. If this is the way you're understanding Yad, so then Chotzer is not Mitam Yad. Now you could learn.
No. But I'm saying, but what was the Gemara's Hava mean?
No, you could.
The Gemara had a whole shayla. Is Chotzer Mitam Yad or Mitam Shlichas? According to the way of David Pavarsky explaining Rashi, how could it ever be Mitam Yad?
Right.
That'll definitely be Mitam Chotzer.
No. Chotzer can't be Mitam Yad because Chotzer is definitely not you. Chotzer is a secondary level of you. Right. And again, the same kasha. Right. I agree. Again, Rashi's shita is going to be shver up and down kemat. How he learns the Gemara and Bamitzia. I agree. Rashi is still going to be shver. How does he learn the Gemara and Bamitzia? Yeah. It's a good point. Rashi's still going to be difficult. Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Now this is all in the Ktzais's world. This is how the Ktzais learned Rashi. However, the Nesivus argues. Let's take a look at the Nesivus number 5. A very stickle Nesivus. He writes like this. B'ktzayis achoyish in kasam number 5. The Ktzai says that the Rashi b'ksubis, according to Rashi b'ksubis, is filei dechot the tzarech hakbosh loisho. You need to be magbiya gimel tvachim. And kein loy domi liyadoi. So the Nesivus has the same kash as everyone else. That if according to Rashi, every kinyan yad only works because you're magbiya gimel tvachim, so why is that comparable to chotzer? Listen to this Nesivus. Ulefiani is daiti nira devadai yodoi loy gara mechatzere. Says the Nesivus, I disagree with the Ktzais. I do not think yad works different than chotzer. So what's Rashi mishing a rhyme with Gimel Tfachim? Says in the Sefer, it's a gevaldik yisoid. In order for the object to be kind, the entire object has to be in your possession. Meaning, if you're holding an object, the entire object has to be in your hand. If, let's say, for example, it's a very large object, where only half the object is in your hand, says in the Sefer, you don't have kinyan yad. Then you need to come on to Hagbo Gimel Tfachim. Says the Nesivus, "Rak the bein and shei kol achiv is kul munach bechal yadoi va'oz havik echatzeroi avle mechiv avle toifis rak miktsasoi biyadoi." Let's say I'm only holding part of it. V'hashar munach chutz lechal al yadoi. I'm holding a big. A guy's holding a 2x4. You can't hold the whole 2x4 in your hand, so he's holding a part of it. Says the Nesivus, in that case, you don't have kinyan yad. The chatzeroi gam kein kishemunach miktsas chutz lechatzeroi dekona. Just like by a chatzer. Let's say you have an object that half of it's in my chatzer and half of it's outside my chatzer. Let's say a guy has a truck. So the truck is halfway on the border of the chatzer. Half the truck is on the inside, half the truck's on the outside. Says the Nesivus, you wouldn't have kinyan chatzer. So the Nesivus, chatzer only works if the whole object is in the chatzer. Yad only works if the whole object is in the yad. Therefore, says the Nesivus, the only time you have to come onto the gimel tvachim akba is when you don't have the entire object in your hand. But if you have the entire object in your hand, says the Nesivus, Yavada Rashi's Moide, you have kinyan yad. And according to Rashi, the only time you need to have Hagbol Gimel Tvachim is where it's not functioning as typical kinyan yad. And the reason why it's not functioning as typical kinyan yad is because the whole object is not in your hand. As I learned in the Nesivus. It's an unbelievable chiddush.
Could you make that comparison if you hold the Chutzers Mitam Shlichus? Could you still say that? Or you boxed in?
Yeah. I don't know how he would then have to go plug back and learn Chatz Mitam Shlichus now. It'd be much more complicated. Chatz mitam yad now is beautiful. Chatz mitam yad means that my chatz works just like my yad, and just like my yad, I have to have it all in my possession. Chatz also has to be full in my possession. Chatz mitam slichus is going to have to be a totally different tsugang of an approach. Now, there's only one problem with the Nesivus is Mahalach. The one problem with the Nesivus is Mahalach is what do you do with Taisus's other point of the case where Taisus says, I, but it's in your mouth. If you remember, Taisus had a kasha and Rashi. Taisus had one kasha, he said, what do you mean? The chafetz is in your hand. So why do you need gimel tfachim? So to that you can answer, like the Nesivus, that the whole object wasn't in your hand. But Taisus said, but it's in your peh. It's in your peh, the whole object is in your peh. So if it's in your peh, so that should be vada good, even according to Rashi. So what you're going to have to l'chayri say, like we saw from the Shinim Kubetzis last week, that a peh is not a place to make kinyanim. Ain't darker lekanyin. We saw Shinim Kubetzis last week. The Shinim Kubetzis said, your mouth is not a place to make kinyanim. So therefore, even according to the Nesivus, the peh is not considered a typical mokim akinyin. And therefore, even though the whole object is in the peh, it's not going to function as kinyan chatz. Now, I put over here an interesting...
According to the Nesivus,
yeah.
According to the Nesivus, you have two things going on by yad. If you have a yad, something, and yad is holding the whole thing, that's yad.
Yes.
But if it's too big, then it's hagbah.
Yes.
So how do you know which one he's talking about?
Right, right. That's exactly his point. His point is that every time you come across a sugya, you have to see what the situation is. If you're being magbia, a small thing, so then the kinyan is kinyan yad, and it could be yad mitam chatz mitam yad. But if it's going to be a large object, then it's going to have to be working with a totally different lundus, right? Very strange. So therefore, the Nesivus is saying that when our Rashi and Ksubis says that you need to be magbia gimel tfachim, he's making the kimta. Now, chaylev is could be very big, chaylev could be very small. He's making the kimta that the chaylev in our Gemara was a case where it wasn't fully biyadoi, and therefore Rashi came on to gimel tfachim. I put over here an interesting thing from Rabbi Soloveitchik in number 6. He writes over here from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, that Moshe Soloveitchik was makbid l'dakte kedasa going to kiveger. What's Rabbi Kiveger held? Sheyeh kol haget kulay mikupol munach tachas yadei shel isha. Kiveger held that when you give a get, you got to fold the paper up, that the entire document can fit in her hand. Not even a little bit should go out of her hand. Now, it's a very long Pesachei Tshuva in Yoredeya about this from Kiveger, but I was just saying that according to this Nesivus, it works out very nicely, right? Because according to the Nesivus, if you want Kinyan Yad to work, again, get is not necessarily a good example, because get anyways might not be about Kinyan, but just according to the Nesivus, if you ever want to be creating something with Yad, it has to fit fully in your Yad. Mashenka, if you have a long, like, if you have like a ksuba like paper that you give to the lady and she's only holding half of it, so then you don't have it kulay monach biyode. But again, that's not necessarily Reb Kiveger's reasoning. He might have other cheshbonos, but I'm just pointing out that it comes out interesting that could be that according to the Nesivus, you'd also have to do that by a get. Again, if you hold it a get, it's totally in a ma'aseh kinyan versus just achnasa l'rishusay. Okay, that was all last week's shir. Now we're moving on to this week's shir. Let's jump a little bit in a very yisayus dikatayisvus. Taisus over here on the Gemara of Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Let's just remind ourselves. Akira Tzarech Hanocha meant that when a person throws something for Shabbos, so even though he throws the arrow and it goes two tefachim, and within the second tefach, it rips a shirt, you're not chai for Shabbos until it goes another two tefachim. But the halach is, we still consider Kimle B'di Ramene, we consider it as one big mice. Akira Tzarech Hanocha. So Taisus has the following kasha. Frank Taisus Akasha, kasha. The Amina B'miruba, the Gemara says in Miruba, Gabi Gonav U'mocha B'Shabbos. Let's say, last week's parasha. The Gemara talks, the Torah talks about Gneva Umechira. Person steals something and he sells it. So the Torah says, depending on what the object was, he has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. So the Gemara says in Baba Kama, let's say a guy is going to Vumacha B'Shabbos. Let's say the guy Reuven goes into Shimon's house, steals his animal, and he sells it to Levi on Shabbos. All on Shabbos. So the Gemara says Potter. The Gemara says he's Potter from the Mominus because of Kim Levi D'Ramine. So the question is, where is the Isser Shabbos? So the Gemara says over there, the Amalei tells his friend, the case is that he stole something, right? The porch pirate. He steals an Amazon box off Reuven's porch. And then he tells Shimon, you know what, Shimon, I'm going to throw it into the chatzer. I'll be mavi rishus l'rishus. I'll throw it into the chatzer, right? And you'll be kainet it with chatzer. So the Gemara says, it's kim levi d'ramine, everything happens at the same time. Which means the Gneva and the Chilul Shabbos happen at the same time. The problem is, the Gemara asks over there, Uparich, Mechimati la'avir chatzeir kono. The Gemara says it's not true. It's not Kim Levi D'Ramine. Why? Because when you throw it into the airspace of the chatzer, he's kaina as chatzer. U'mischai b'navshe m'shem Shabbos la'avir ha'che tenuach. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's no Kim Levi D'Ramine in that case. It's not be'idna. Why is it not be'idna? Because when I throw it from one rishos to another rishos, So that's considered Issa Shabbos. But in order to have Issa Shabbos, you have to have a Hanacha. The Chavetz has to be Munach. Over here, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Kinyan, the Chavetz is Kainan once it's in the Avir, once it hits the ear space of my Chatzar. So the Gemara asks, it doesn't happen at the same time. That's the end of the Gemara. Frek Taisiv is a bomb kasha, I don't get it. Frek Taisiv is Umay Parach, what's the Gemara's kasha? Va'akira Tzarech Hanacha, Kedam Mahacha. Frek Taisiv, what are you talking about? Didn't you tell me there's a thing called Akira Tzarech Hanacha? That once you pick something up and you start to throw it, we look at it as if it's one big act? So say the same thing there. Say that once I picked up the Gneva, throw it over into your backyard, so that's all one big act. So everything happens at the time of the Akira. Just like we say in our Gemara. Again, in our Gemara, you ripped a shirt before the Hanacha. You ripped the shirt. Again, the ripping of the shirt is the equivalent of it being in the airspace of the Chatzar. So why don't we say, just like when you ripped the shirt in the second Amma Mark, we consider it as all of one big mice. So say the same thing here. That when you throw the object from your house to his house, and it's in Erut, at that moment it's all one big mice Chol Shabbos with one big mice Geneva, and we should say, Kim Neba D'Rabbi Mine. That's Taisvis's Kash. So basically Taisvis feels that these two Gemaras are contradictory. Now, Taisvis gives a very long-winded answer. We'll read it quickly. Taisvis says, he says, well, first of all, go back to the idea of the Efshel Nisach B'Lagba. There's a Gemara in Gittin, and I don't really want to spend too much time on it, but there's a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara talks about Menasech. Person is Menasech Yainei Shel Chaveri. Now, what does it mean to be Menasech Yainei Shel Chaveri? So one side of the Gemara means, you use the Favay Dezar. So the Gemara says, Kim Lebed Ramine. I shouldn't be chayiv for, I'm chayiv misa for doing avodah zarah. So I shouldn't be chayiv for ruining your yayin. So the Gemara says, not so. Why? Because when you lifted up the yayin, you became chayiv for whatever happens to it. The avodah zarah only happens afterwards. Why don't you say that when I lifted it, that should be like hagbah, tzairich, nisuch? So he says over there, v'hashdeb yimei lesa degbah tzairich nisuchu. V'adin d'leslu d'be akira tzairich hanoch v'leim avimim matzadur l'matzadur. So says Taisvis, this Rabbi Yirmiyah in Gittin, who says that if I pick up Yayin with the intention of worshipping Avodah Zarah, we don't say Akira Tzarech Hagbah. So therefore, Taisvis thinks that this Gemara in Baba Kama does not hold of Akira Tzarech Hanoch, and he holds like this Rabbi Yirmiyah in Gittin. Very bekitzer, Taisvis seems to answer that there's Machlokes
HaSugyos. Well, those are very different cases.
Why?
That's why I throw an object, it has to fall. If I pick up a barrel of wine, I can do Nisuch, I may not do Nisuch, I could choose. It's not inevitable that it's going to happen.
Right, so Tosfos pointed out that we're not accepting the teretz of the Gemara of Matzil Ladure. And that was one of the chalukim our Gemara made. Matzil Ladure means I can always take it back. I skipped that long because I don't want to get bogged down with it. But Tosfos pointed out that the Rabbeinu Tam is that Rabbeinu Tam is assuming not like that. Vashter b'yumi lesli dagbar tzarech nisachu. I didn't less like I skipped it over there. Ravil gamer nazmer ma'amish. V'lo yikom efter mishum kiyam nazmer b'yumi. The mishas dagbar kamis chayav nafshar shas nisachu. Vashter b'yumi lesli dagbar tzarech nisachu. He doesn't differentiate between that chiluk that Seth is making, between that one case I can pull back, one case I can't pull back. So Taisus is assuming, again, I'm really bringing this Taisus to get to a Rambam. I know it sounds weird, but that's really my intention over here. But I want from Taisus is, Taisus has a problem, that there seems to be two contradicting Gemara. Our Gemara has a Yisoid called Akira Tzarech Hanocha, and in Baba Kama the Gemara thinks that you can't be Chai for Geneva, and Chilul Shabbos because they don't happen at the same time. What happened to Akira Tzarech Hanocha? So Taisus's answer is Machlokes HaSugyos. There's a Shita of Yirmiyah in Gittin, and Rabbi Yirmiyah doesn't hold Akira Tzarech Hanocha, and therefore Rabbi Yirmiyah is the one in Baba Kama that holds that when you throw the Gneva into the Chatzar of your friend, you don't say Akira Tzarech Hanocha. That's Shita of Taisus. So according to Taisus, it's Taka Machlokes. Akira Tzarech Hanocha is not Muskum Bakoil. It's subjected to a Machlokes Amarei. There's a Meiri in Baba Kama number 8. Very interesting Me'iri. The Me'iri, Baba Kama Daf Ayin Mebez, is where the Gemara that Taisu told us from. Again, let's get the Gemara clear. The Gemara says, a guy who's Goynevu Mocha B'Shabbos, how's he Mocha B'Shabbos? So he tells his friend, listen, I'm going to throw it into your Chatzar, and your Chatzar will be Kain of the Gneva. So the Gemara says that he's Potter because of Kim Lebed Ramine. The Gemara says, what Kim Lebed Ramine? The Chi of Gneva started when it was in the Avir of the Chatzar. The Chi of Shabbos only started when it's Munach. So our Kasha was, what happened to Akir Tzarech Hanocha? So Taisus answered, Enechanami, that Gemara doesn't work with our Gemara. Says the Meiri, a different Teretz. Says the Meiri, no. He quotes the Gemara and he writes, "Me'ato going to v'mochel lechaver v'histe ima." If a guy sells and he makes up with his friend that histe ima she is regesagneve bechaser v'tiknaloi chazei v'tiknaloi, he makes up with him that the way the mechanism for this kinyan is going to be chotzer v'zorke b'shabbes, and he throws them on Shabbos chayiv. Sharei kono he was kainit b'kivin shehigia la'avir hachotzer. Because again, the Me'iri is assuming, like the Gemara Baba Kama, that once it gets into the avir of the chotzer, the kinyan happens from the chira. It says the Me'iri, but when it's flying in the ear, that's not considered resting on Shabbos. So I'm not chayiv for Shabbos when it's in the ear, but I am chayiv for Gneva when it's in the ear. Therefore, it's not boing kecha, and therefore you're chayiv. Nimtza chiv tashlum in koidim. Therefore, the chiv tashlum came before the chiv Shabbos. Ve'ein oimrim bezua kiritzar chanocha, says the Me'iri, and we don't apply. Mommy, she's asking Tais Mrs. Kasha, why don't you say a kiritzar chanocha? Why does the Gemara Baba Kama paskin halacha like that? That if I throw the gneva into my friend's chatzar and we make up that he's going to be cutting the gneva with chatzar, I'm chayiv. There's no kimlei. Why is there no kimlei, says the Me'iri, like we saw in Tosfos? Because the chiyuv Shabbos started later, the chiyuv Mamon is started earlier. Frak the Me'iri, what happened to Hakir Batzara Chanocha? Listen to the words of the Me'iri. Shein oimim kein elo inyan nezikin. We only say that when it comes to nezek, ripping a shirt. Avol inyan mechir aloi. Not when it comes to selling things. You can't get more vague than that. What does the Me'iri mean? What's the difference? What's the difference?
Well, in this case, the chiv and the keren is coming before the chilul Shabbos, but the chiv and the dal vehei is coming at the same time as the chilul Shabbos.
Right, so we're focusing predominantly on the dal vehei. We're not talking about the keren. You're right. Here we're focusing on the dal vehei.
So there should be kimli on the dal vehei. Even if you don't have to say kiritz ochanachal, because they're coming at the same time. When the object lands, you have both the kinyan and the Chilul Shabbos at the same time.
The point is that the Gemara said that the Chiyuv for Dal Vehei starts when it's in the Avir HaChatzer, before it's Monach and the Chatzer. Just being in the Avir HaChatzer, you're Kainei HaChatzer.
The Avir HaChatzer is enough to consider that a Kenyan, that yeah.
That's what the Gemara said, yeah. That's what the Gemara said, yeah. I'm just quoting the Gemara. I'm not, again, we have to at some point talk about that, how Chatzer works. That's what the Gemara says. So that's, so what does the Me'iri mean? As that cryptic Me'iri? Says the Me'iri, no, the difference is one case, you ripped a shirt. And the other case, you wanted to sell an object. What's the difference? Okay, so we have to be Masber, this Me'iri. But besides the Me'iri, we have a Steven and Rambam. How do we have a Steven and Rambam? Let's look at two Rambams together. Number 9. Zok the Rambam, Hilchos Gneiva Perigimel. Zok the Rambam, Ketza, what's the case? Zoga Chet B'Shabbos. Guy throws an arrow on Shabbos. Metchilas Arba L'Soif Arba. Starts off at 4 Amos. And it goes 4 Amos. The kara beget chaver ba lichasai, and he rips his friend's shirt en route. Oy shehid legadish chaver b'shabbes, oy shegadav kiss b'shabbes. Okay, we don't need that. We'll get to that later. Says the Rambam, harei ze potter min atashlumin. If a guy does that, he's potter. Why? She is the Shabbos v'segneva v'hezik bon keechad, because it's kim lebed Rambam. So what is the Rambam clearly paskin like? Like Reb Ovin, akir etzarach hanocha. The Rambam paskins, now agav, if you look at the lush of the Rambam made it very clearly that it was metchilas arba l'soif arba. If you remember, 2 weeks ago we had a dig from the Afike Yam. That the Afike Yam wanted to point out that why is the Gemara so makbid that it only goes dalan amas? Why can't it be zarak chetz and it's mazik on the sixth amma? So we mentioned from the Afike Yam, it's machlokes between him and Reb Chaim, but the Afike Yam held that the whole din is only negeya if it goes dalan amas. If it goes more than dalan amas, so then it's a whole different story. So the Rambam is taka very interesting. The Rambam says the case is zarek chet mitchilas arba l'soif arba. The Rambam could have wrote whatever he wanted. The Gemara wrote dalid for whatever reason, we don't know. But you couldn't make possibly medayik from this Rambam that the Rambam held like the Afike Yam, that it taka has to only go dalad amas, because if it were to go more than dalad amas, you wouldn't have kimle. But what do you see from the Rambam, Rabbi? He said the Rambam passes like Reb Ovin. What was Reb Ovin? Kimle b'diramne, under the banner of what? Akir tzarech hanocha. So the Rambam clearly holds like our Gemara, Reb Ovin, akir tzarech hanocha. What's the problem? Number 10. Zok the Rambam, only a few halachas later in the same perek. Zok the Rambam, gonav u'mocha b'Shabbos. If a guy steals, and he sells it on Shabbos, av shemocha l'avoy dezorah, chayiv l'shalom tashlum me'abo v'chamisho. Says the Rambam, if a guy does genevu mechira b'Shabbos, he's chayiv to pay, dal v'hei. Why? says the Rambam, v'nase melachte b'shabes be'ez ha-mechira pot mitzvah b'chamisha. But if it happens at the exact same time of the mechira, then he's pot. Keitzad, how would that work? Kigoyin shalehik naloy asher tenuach b'chatzer. Where the guy says, that, you know what? I don't want you to be kainin until it gets to the actual chatzer. B'chatzer alakeach, shenimta kishahoytzi mershos l'mershos, is a shabes u'mechira b'an kachas. Says the Rambam that there is a way that you could have kimle b'diramenei on Geneva. How is it possible? If you make up with the guy that you don't want it to be kainer until it lands in the chatzar. It has to land in the chatzar. Says the Rambam, because if you don't have it landing in the chatzar, if you have it anything else, there's no kimle. Zok the Rambam, the only way you can have kimle by Geneva on Shabbos is if you stipulate with the lekeach that the chaloy's kinyan only happens when it's munach in the chatzar. Now, if the kinyan only happens when it's munach and the chatzah, what happens? So now when it's munach and the chatzah, you have Shabbos and Geneva, bon keachot. What's the problem with the Rambam? Which means, according to the Rambam, if I tell the guy, listen, buddy, I'm throwing it into your backyard, I want you to be kinyan with regular kinyan chatzah. What's regular kinyan chatzah? Regular kinyan chatzah works with avir chatzah. What does it say from the Rambam? The Rambam says regular avir chatzah wouldn't work. Why? Because Tosfos told us, you don't hold of Akira Tzarech Hanocha. But the Rambam himself just brought down the din of Akira Tzarech Hanocha. You can't answer like Tosfos that it's machloikas hasugyos, because the Rambam brought both opinions. The Rambam can't hold like Tosfos. Tosfos said it's machloikas hasugyos. There's a Gemara in Baba Kamma that holds of. There's a Gemara in Ksubis that holds of Akira Tzarech Hanocha, and then there's a Gemara in Baba Kamma that doesn't hold of Akira Tzarech Hanocha. But the Rambam himself brought down both. The Rambam brought down our Gemara with Reb Avin, who says Akira Tzarech Hanocha. And the Rambam also said that if I throw it into the Avira Chotzer, I'm not going to have Kim Lebi Rambine because you're not Kain until it's Munach. What do you mean? Why do I need Munach? I have Akira Tzarech Hanocha. How does the Rambam go from one halacha to the other? He's a mamish contradiction.
He holds like the
Meiri. Good. That's exactly the answer, Seth. Now we got to figure out what the Meiri means to figure out what the Rambam means. 100%. Yeah, Chaim?
The guy stipulated. If you wouldn't have said anything, then it would be the machlok. There would be no machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara would have the same thing.
No.
It would be kind of in the air.
No. The pshat. If he wouldn't stipulate Achim Munach, then it would be kind of in the avir. And there would be no kimle b'drabim minei, because the kinyan happens earlier and the Shabbos happens later. That's what the Gemara told us. The Gemara comes out that the only way you can have Kimle is if you stipulate that you only want the Kinyan to happen when it's Munach and the Chatzar. Which means if you don't stipulate it, so it's regular Kinyan Chatzar, regular Kinyan Chatzar works with the Avir, and in that case you wouldn't have Kimle B'Dram Mineh. Our Kash is, well, of course you can have Kimle B'Dram Mineh. It's Akira Tzarech Hanocha. You'll tell me the Rambam doesn't hold Akira Tzarech Hanocha, but the Rambam just told us two halachas earlier, like Reb Avin, that he holds Akira Tzarech Hanocha. This is the bomb.
I think the difference is that a Maisa Hezek, you could trace back to when the arrow was shot. Because you can say, yeah, that's when the Maisa Hezek took place.
Good.
When the arrow was shot, good. Everything. But a Kenyan, it happens when you decide it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Okay, good.
So
good.
Maybe it happened.
Good. So let's see. If this is one of the... So this kash is not my kasha. This kash is brought down by the Shah HaMelech, and it's brought down by two other... Many, many Gedolim have this kasha. Many of the Gedolim Rosh Yeshivas of the last, 100 years, 150 years, deal with this kasha. So the first Mahalach is the Mahalach of the Granat. Mahalach of the Stipler, it's Mahalach of many Gedolei Achorim. The second Mahalach, which Ezra Hashem will get to either today or next week, is a different Mahalach from Reb Chaim. So let's start with the Mahalach of the Granat. Now, the Granat, it's a long shtickel Granat. I tried to cut only the pieces that we need, but the Granat says like this. Number 11. Zog the Granat v'hanira b'zeh. The Granat asks these two kashas. He asks, what does the Meiri mean when the Meiri is Mechalik between Hezek and Mechira? And he asks this glaring steer in Rambam. Again, they're two kashas. So Seth already got to the answer that whatever you're going to say in the Meiri, you're going to plug into the Rambam. Okay, good. But what does the chiluk of the Meiri mean, and how do we learn the Rambam? So let's see number 11. Zog Reb Naftali Trav, V'anira B'zeh. Dihine b'din kimle b'drabim mine yeshne dinim. Now again, I mentioned to you that Reb Naftali Trav didn't really learn in Reb Chaim's Mahalach. He didn't learn that. He learned in Slobotka and Kelm. He didn't really pick up two dinim that way, but he probably got it from Reb Itzel. Reb Itzel Panovich was that style of learning. So he writes this, V'hanir b'zeh dihine b'din kimle b'drabim mine yeshne dinim. Says Reb Naftali Trav, there's two types of kimle b'drabim mine. Echod, the al hamaisa sheneschayiv b'misa mischayiv nami moment. The typical case of kimle b'drabim mine is you do one action, one maisa. You shoot a gun. and that bullet rips the guy's shirt, and it rips to his heart, and you kill him and you rip his shirt. One ma'isa. You punch a guy in the face, you break his glasses, and you kill him. Okay? One ma'isa. One ma'isa that creates two chiyuvim. That can be ramene. Then only yuchayim l'chayiv shnei chiyuvah ma'isa echad. The Torah is not mechayiv a person on one act. I'm sure everyone pointed out last week's parsha was the makar, or at least one of the makaris of Kim Levin Ramine from the Lo Yeh Osen. Okay, that was Geshmak, last week's parsha. So says the granat, right, that's the typical case. Let's say you push the pregnant lady, so you cause her to die, and you also cause her to lose the fetus. So that's one maisa with two chiyuvim. Ubeze ein shum chiluk im zel odom echor oylu shnei b'nei odom. De lo oylam poitrim oysa mishum Kim Levin Ramine.
So the first lumdus is one maisa. I do one act. I do one act. And that, again, I can do one act. I can shoot one bullet, and the bullet hurts one person's shirt, and it kills someone else. But it's one maisa. Meaning, says Rav Naftali, the first type of kimlev d'ramine is not necessarily who I'm hurting, but it's how the maisa what happened. Which means if I shoot the gun, and one person dies, and one person gets damage, I'm still going to say Kimli. Why? Because at the end of the day, it was one Maisa that created two Chiyuv. That's typical Kimli. What's the second type of Kimli? Beis. Afilu shahayishnei Maisim. It was two separate actions. Uba'achas mischayiv Misa va'alashni amam. Now, this second type of Kimli we learned in the Gemara. This was Rav Ashi's case of a Zor shal chatrum of a Karu shoram shal chaveri. A guy sitting at his table, he's a Zor. So on one hand, he's eating Truma, and with the other hand, he's ripping someone's shirt. Now, that's not one maisa. That's two separate maisa. He's ripping a shirt, and he's eating truma. But it's happening at the same time. So that's the second type of kimlev d'ramine. That was what we learned. Again, if you remember, Kiv Eger had issues, like, where do you see such a kimlev d'ramine? But that was what we'd call the second type of kimlev. The second type of kimlev is two separate maisim that happen simultaneously that create two chiyuvim. So Zogdim Naftali, there's two types of kimlev. Now again, this is not a chiddush to us. We mentioned this many times. We brought this out in many different scenarios. That there's two types of kimlev d'ramine. There's one maisa, that's the typical kimlev. Then there's a type of kimlev d'ramine where there's two maisim that happen simultaneously. Okay, says Rav Naftali. We come back and I mean him bezek kimlev d'ramine. Kivin d'shnei achiyuvim tzrichim l'cholol of kachas. We still say kimlev d'ramine because again, it's not a pshat that one maisa created two chiyuvim, but it's two chiyuvim that are created at the same time. V'hainu nami din kimlev d'ramine de'eni yuchayim l'chol shnei chiyuvim kachas. It's the same idea. What's the idea? The idea is you can't have two chiyuvim pile up at one time. Either they stem from one ma'isa, or they stem from two ma'isa that happen at the same time. But the point is, the Torah can't get you, the Torah can't be mechav you for two ma'isa. Okay, good. Says Naftali, the hanafke mina ben hanach shnei dinim, who would be a nafke mina between these two types of kimlev d'rabimine? When it's the pshat, because it's one action, haptohu b'hamaisa. Then the Torah is on the action. The Hamaisa, the Abtor of Hamaisa, the Almaisa Zu Enichayim Lechayiv Echiv Mamin. Kivan the Maisa Zu Mishayiv Misa. Says Rav Naftali, what's the difference between the two types of Kimle? If the Pshat is the typical Kimle, the guy shoots the gun, and the gun kills and damages, then the Pshat, the Torah says, this Maisa that you did, I can't give you two punishments. Only one. Avalim Havishne Maisim, but if it would be two actions, Rak Abtor Humishim De Enichayim Lechayiv Echiv Echivim Ka'achas. Says Rav Naftali, if the pshat is that I did two separate actions, then the pshat is not that the Torah can't be mechayiv me two things for two actions. The Torah does it all the time. Then the Torah is that the Torah can't be mechayiv me as a gavra, two punishments. When I do one action, so the Torah says on one action, we can't give you two punishments. But Zokta, the Rav Naftali, but if it's two actions, so why can't the Torah give me, again, all the time we do two separate actions. If Shai is when it's two actions, then the Torah can't be mechayiv you, a person, two punishments. Now, the truth is, I don't want to get so into this, but this is very negate to what we spoke about many, many shiurim ago, where there's two places where we learn Kim Lebedramine from. One is from V'lo Yasan, and one is from Kedei Rishasai. Kedei Rishasai is the Pshat that Bezdin can't give you two punishments. That sounds a little bit more like what Rav Naftali is getting at over here. The Pshat in Kedei Rishasai is not the Pshat that the action that you did doesn't warrant it. In fact, the action that you did warrants it. But the Pshat that Bezdin can administer two punishments. Mashenki, when you do one Maisa can create a Chiyah for two punishments. It's an interesting Nakuda. We brought this Nakuda out many, many weeks ago already from Reb Chaim, such a chiluk, of that where you're learning Kimlev D'Rabbanei from. If the Kimlev D'Rabbanei is the pshat that your action can create it, or you can't get stuck with it. You want to call it Gavra Chefetz or whatever, you can call it whatever you want. But the Nafkamina really is why can't I get two punishments? Is it because the Torah was never Mechayiv one action, two punishments? Or the Torah was never Mechayiv a person for doing something wrong two times, or at the same time, two Einshim? That's Rav Naftali's point. Now, says Rav Naftali, if you accept this Chakira, now everything is beautiful. Why is everything beautiful? Well, the Fizeh, Harei Poshet. The Din Akira Tzarech Hanoch Olei Shaykh El Bezari Chetz. Says Rav Naftali, if you accept all of this, now you understand the Gemara by Zarek Chetz, the din of Akira Tzarech Hanocha, the Karish Shoyim Elchos, Akivin the Achi of Misa, the Shabbos, the Achi of Mamad, Beis Akriya Shiroin, Bo Ba'ad Maisa Hazrika. Again, why am I chayif when the arrow rips the shirt two amas in? Because of the Maisa of Zrika that I did in the beginning. Valze Shapra Minad Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Dein Ono Yechoyim Lechayiv Ba'ad Hazrika Ala Shiroin. You can't be mechayiv me on the throwing. Because on that Maisa, I'm going to get Misa for it. So that Maisa, Zrikas HaChefetz, is going to give me Misa. Therefore, you can't be Mechayiv Mimamin from the same Maisa. It's one Maisa. Avol, Im Yizrach Chetz V'Kari B'Shabbos, Maisa Shiroyin, Haloi Havishnei Maisim Nifrodim. But if you throw a Chetz V'Kari B'Shabbos, Maisa Shiroyin, Alohu Shnei Maisim Nifrodim. V'chol Adin Nekim Leib Duramini D'Shayachach Uhum Adin Abeis. Therefore, says Reb Naftali, if you wanted to work with Kim Leib D'Ramine, you have to figure out which Kim Leib D'Ramine you're working with. So when the case is when I'm Zarek Chetz, so that's one Maisa. One Maisa Zrika. In that one Maisa Zrika, what do I have in it? I have a Maisa Shabbos, and I have a Maisa of Chavala. So I say Akira Tzarek Hanoch. But he writes over here, Avoloi Shaykh Loim Akira Tzarek Hanoch, the Kim Nechol Adin, the Kim Leib D'Ramine, who Mishum De'en Yuchoyim Lechayv Shnei Chiyum Ka'achas. Avol Hocha, but again, when I throw the Gneva over the porch. Aval hocha ha-kozman shloi nigmara ha-nochehi adayin leka olof shuvchi misa. Da akira tzarech ha-nocha le-shayich. You can't say akira tzarech ha-nocha. Elo, sheyesh kan maisa ha-mechayiv misa. Meaning he wants to say over here that when it comes to the case of Shabbos, when I'm zayrik, when I throw the gneva from my chotzer into his chotzer, so then when does the chiyuv Shabbos start? The chiyuv Shabbos only starts once it's munach. Then that type of Kim Leib D'Rabbimine is not the same type of one Maisa. Because again, what I do, I stole it, and now I want to sell it through Chatzar. Elo sheyesh kan Maisa ha-mechayiv Misa, ulechein ha-machiyiv Mamon hu nami al Maisa zeh, shayach shabalem Kim D'Rabbimine. Kiven da'al Maisa zu yesh chiyiv Misa. Okay, one second. So what's the difference? So says Reb Naftali, the difference is what type of Kim Leib D'Rabbimine are we working with? Are we working with the conventional Kim Leib D'Rabbimine of one Maisa? Or we work with the Kim Leib D'Rabbimine of two Maises that happen simultaneously. So he writes number 13, Ubeze Yesh Levar Nami Devra Meiri. Dehode B'mecher Mechayvina Le'ala Mechira. Why are we getting you by Mechira? For the selling. Da'aloi Ein Zeh Ba'ad Maise Azrika. The selling is not about the throwing. Da'afilu M'yasa Mechira B'lo Azrika Nami Yischayiv. Think about it, says Naftali. When I'm, what am I over? What's the momentous on Shabbos in this case? It's for the Maise Mechira. The Mechira is not coming from the Zrika. The Zrika was a Chetimtza to create a Mechira. Da'afidu m'yasa Mechira b'loi Zrika nam yischayif. Va'achiv hu al shenis haveh ha-Mechira. What's the Chiv Mominus stemming from? It's not from the throwing. The Chiv Mominus stems from the fact that I made a Mechira. Va'achiv Misa hu bad Maisa Zrika. But where's the Misa from? The Misa is from the Zrika. So it's not one Maisa creating two Chiyuvim. Says Reb Naftali, "V'imkei nimtza da'avi hocha shnei ma'isim." Says Reb Naftali, "What type of Kim Leib D'Rabbimine is taking place in our Gemara, in the Gemara and Baba Kama? Those are two actions. They granted have to be lumped together just because conveniently they were done together, but intrinsically, they're two separate actions. There was an action of a transfer of bialis, and then there was an action of zrikas Shabbos. V'chol adin the Kim Leib D'Rabbimine who mishum da'chiyev misa bar zrika v'chiyev mamim bar mechira havi b'vas achas." Says Reb Naftali, you don't see Akira Tzarech Hanocha unless it's one Maisa. But over here, you have to break it down and look and say, no, there was a Maisa Zrika Sachefet Mishus L'Rishus, and there was a Maisa Mechira. The Maisa Mechira was not exactly from the Zrika. Now again, practically it was, Avada. That's the mode I used to be Meichere to you. But the Isser Mechira is not totally directly in the Zrika. So So therefore, says Rav Naftali, the way you have to understand it, and that's the answer to the Steven Rambam as well. And that's what the Me'iri means. What does the Me'iri mean? Because by a Mechira, I don't need the Zrika to make the Mechira. If I asked you, why was this thing sold to you? It wasn't sold to you because I threw it to you. It was sold to you because I decided to sell it to you. But why the Chavetz was ripped was because I shot my arrow. Therefore, says Rav Naftali, that's the difference. When you talk about Akira Tzarchanach, Akira Tzarchanach only makes sense when it's one big mice. When it's one big mice, so I connect the beginning to the end. But if I can break it down into two separate actions that happen to have happened simultaneously, then it's like the case of when a guy eats truma and rips a shirt. Two mice in that happen at the same time. You don't say Akira Tzarchanach. Okay, Rabbi Say, we have to get more into this. B'li Nedar, Mr. Shem, next week. Hopefully we'll be in person. Mr. Shem, Tuesday night we should be in person. And we'll continue this this topic, Mr. Shem, next Sunday. And hopefully we'll go weiter in the Gemara as well. Okay, Rabbi Say, have a wonderful day.
Tuesday, Rabbi, just announced Tuesday we're starting a
new series. Mr. Shem, Tuesday, right. For those of you that were sick of hearing about Passover Kisten, this Tuesday we're going to be talking about mezuzah. The rules and do's and don'ts of mezuzah, which is very negeya for everyone who lives in a house. Even if you rent that place, you have to know about mezuzah, and there's a lot of things that people often overlook with regard to mezuzah. So, Mitzvah Shem Tuesday night live in Young Israel. And again, I hope to do the Zoom if the Zoom behaves, and I have to try to see if I can get the computer fixed in Mitzvah Shem for Tuesday night.
Thank you.
Okay, Bryce, have a wonderful week. Be well, man.